morning, we want to pray with our Korean team that's going out from our midst on August the 13th. They couldn't be all together on the 7th of August, so they said, we're all going to be in the service today, so could you please pray today for us? So OB and the team, come on up to the front here, and we're going to introduce them to you and just tell them, tell you a little bit about who they are and what they're going to be doing, and then we'll pray for them. So we're going to keep you standing while all this is happening, so be patient with us. So we'll start over here to my left, your right, and just say your name. Tell us something about yourself and why you're going on this trip.
Good morning, churches. My name is Obi. So we're going to Africa, Kenya in Africa. We're going to 13th of August, back to 31st August. So because why we're going to Africa, we're helping to find water for people. They need a lot of water. And then we're teaching for young ladies sanitize. And then we're helping to some finding water. And then so we're developing Kenya, some village communities. That's why we're going to. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeff. I've always wanted to go to Africa when I was young. This is finally we've decided to go, and I don't know what we're going to do, but actually I want to go there and experience what God's doing and God's people are doing. So yeah, it'd be great if we come after and share all the stories with you guys. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and this is my mom, Susie. We're going to Africa. We've wanted to go to Africa. It's a, I don't know, it's a mysterious land for us. And we finally had a chance. So we are going. So please pray for us. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Han. And we're going to Africa to find water, like Obi said. Personally, I'd like to, you know, Africa is a place that they don't know about God. And we'd like to show them God's love. And yeah, thank you. Please pray for our team.
Let's bow our heads together and pray for them. Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we thank you as we've sung together your holiness and your greatness and your forgiveness of our sins. Lord, there's a world that needs to know that. And Lord, the way that we show your love and your grace is giving of ourselves. And we thank you that there's technology out there that we have and possess to be able to help people find water in Africa, a place that is so dry and so desperately in need of liquid refreshment, water that we take so much for granted here in Canada. We pray for the team as they go, give them safety as they journey, give them the words to speak as they minister in various capacities over the course of several weeks. Bless them on August 13th that they board their jet plane to take their trip all the way to Kenya. And Lord, we pray that you would also remind us over the course of their time while they're away to remember them in prayer and to pray for a dynamic ministry that would happen amongst them and through them for your name's sake and for your glory's sake. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you, team. We're continuing on with our study in the book of Philippians and looking at Philippians chapter 3 again today, and you can follow along on your bulletin insert on the back with a bit of the outline there given for you. The chapter we're looking at is chapter 3, and we're following along, so we're at verse 15 now of chapter 3 and concluding chapter 3 with verse 21. So I'm going to read this scripture text with you this morning, or for you. If you'll just follow along with me, I believe it's on the PowerPoint there. but just allow me to read it, and you lend me your ears this morning and listen carefully to what God's word would say to us this morning. Verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. Not too long ago, McDonald's had a commercial, Keep Your Eyes on Your Fries. How many of you remember that? Not too many. Okay, that's dating me, right? Maybe it was longer ago than I actually remembered it to be. But they had this commercial out, Keep Your Eyes on Your Fries. And the idea was that if you didn't keep your eyes on your fries, your friends would snatch them and steal them from you. So you better be careful because your fries would vanish and you would turn back and boom, they would be gone, right? So keep your eyes on your fries was the idea. And of course, the main thought was that the fries are so good that you didn't want to let them out of your sight because they would disappear on you. Well, when we look at our text this morning, we need to come and see the heavenly prize as so valuable to us that we keep our eyes on that heavenly prize. These verses are a continuation of Paul's encouragement to run the race and run it in such a way that along with those who are mature and that we should take such a view of these things. Of course, these things are referring to what has just been said in verses 12 and 13 and 14, which we talked about last week. When Wendy and I lived in Shanghai from 1989 to 91, there was a time period where they had two currencies in China. They had renminbi, which is people's currency, and they had FEC, which is foreign exchange currency. So when we are both teaching, what we get paid in as a salary would be both of those currencies. The renminbi, we got paid 90% of our salary in, and the FEC, we got paid 10%. And so the idea was the renminbi was the people's currency and could only stay in China. You couldn't take it outside the country. Foreign exchange currency, of course, you can convert to greenbacks with lots of problems at the bank because they didn't like you converting it into foreign exchange. They like to spend it in the country. But all of our, really a lot, I'd say almost 99% of our salary we spent in China. And when we were doing that, we were kind of thinking to ourselves, well, you know, we're not saving anything for the future. We really have no future outside of using this money inside China. And we were thinking, well, then we want to use it all here. We want to have something left over for going back to Canada. And really, we were thinking we'd eventually go back to Canada, spend our 2 years, and then travel back to Canada and begin a life and a ministry back here in Canada. So really, all that money that we earned and saved or used up in China was of no use when we came back here to Canada. And I thought, how appropriate in looking at how we use our resources here in this life. We can't take anything with us into heaven. It's all going to be staying here. So everything that we accrue and use here stays here. Everything that we take to heaven is spiritual and of non-material essence. Stuff that's of the heart, that's of the mind, that is of a relationship that we have with each other and with God. Well, to be mature as a Christian, we have to view heaven with such a mindset. And as we look at our text this morning, the first point I have for you is living up to what we have attained of heaven, which we see from verse 15 and 16 of our text this morning. Paul maintained that the growth that he had already achieved, he wanted others to achieve as well and continue to achieve. We gain in our discipline as we have experiences in the Christian life, read God's word, gather with God's people, and so we have attained a certain level of spiritual savoir-faire, okay? Essence, understanding has been built into our character and into our life. Growth takes place when some of these circumstances are interrupted, and we feel that we are processing all the good things and the bad things in the Christian life that we experience, and we take those things and we use them in our celebration of who God is and grow in our understanding of God and His love for us and His grace for us. These are strong exhortation Paul uses here, talking about going on and living up to what we have already attained in the faith. God stirs our hearts with perspective and way of heaven and understanding heaven. What is this heaven that we are really looking forward to? There was a story told of a gentleman that was quite wealthy, and he decided that he wanted to bring some of his wealth with him when he went to heaven. So he prayed and prayed and asked God, God, please, please, please allow me to take some of my wealth to heaven. And he prayed so fervently and so long that finally God said, okay, you can take something of your treasure to heaven. Take it in your suitcase. So lo and behold, the man died. And he had a suitcase with him, and in that suitcase, he had his treasure. And he went up to the pearly gates, and there was the apostle Peter waiting for him. And Peter kind of looked kind of jaded, and he said, nobody brings a suitcase full of earthly treasure into heaven. And the man said, no, no, I prayed, I'm all good. God has told me that I could bring this suitcase into heaven with some of my earthly treasure. Peter said, well, if that's the case, you know, and God has told you that you can do that, you're allowed to do it, I guess. So welcome. The gates are flung open. But before you go in, can I just see what's in your case? The man said, well, sure. And he opened up his case for Peter to take a look inside the case. And there inside the case was gold ingots, you know, bars of gold, precious stones. And Peter said to the man, he said, well, why have you gone to all this trouble? Why are you bringing pavement into heaven? I mean, the streets are gold. You don't have to bring this in. It's all here already. So what are you so worried about that you had to go to so much effort to bring all this in? You're really bringing just concrete into heaven. Well, when we understand the glories of heaven and what we are striving for in this earth in way of the treasures of this earth, we get the proper perspective and the proper gist of what our lives should be about. Not about the treasures of this earth, but really the treasures looking forward to heaven, which are given to us freely and without account. Secondly, taking the model of heavenly visionaries that we see in verse 17 here of our text, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Well, in looking at models in this passage of the scripture, we're very much aware of models in the scripture that have had views of heaven and sought after heaven with all their strength. These were men that are recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about the heroes of the faith, the great men of old from the early fathers, beginning back in the book of Genesis with Abraham and on into Moses, and then in David and Solomon, and on we go into the prophets and then into the New Testament. Well, all these are credited as heroes of the faith, men that and women that look not at the present life as their destiny, but as a future life, a city that the builder was not of men, but of God. And these ones, Hebrews 11 tells us, we should follow, we should seek as our model. The way we live and what we do really influences other people around us as well. We ourselves become models for other people in our lives. Even though we might think, well, we're not really that much of an influencer, or not many people have their eyes on us, like it or not, we have children, we have friends, we have family members that are looking at us and observing us and saying, you know, this is what Christians are like. This is what they do. And we see it in this person's life. And then they determine, well, is that good or is that bad? What are we to do with that? So we are all influencers whether we like it or not. Obviously, in order to practice modeling in a good fashion, when people fix their gaze on us, we need to be followers of God. And also, we need to be followers of those other people in our lives that are modeling the Christian life as it should be modeled. People that are elders and deacons and small group leaders, older men and older women. We must find these people around us and look to them as examples of how we should best live the Christian life in a fashion that glorifies God. People that are zealous to live not for this present life, but for heaven, for the glories of heaven. Doing that one thing that we talked about last Sunday. Well, thirdly, Paul talks about here tears in verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears. The thing here is that Paul is talking about maturity. He's talking about growing in the Christian life and doing those things that build oneself up spiritually. But he says that really in looking at people that are not doing these things but have their treasure in earthly things, and he writes this and he says, in the present tense, I do this and I write these scriptures here with tears. So if we were looking at the original text of scripture, the ink would probably be smudged a little bit and tear stained as we look at these words before us. I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So what is he getting at here in way of being enemies of the cross of Christ and feeling so sad about that he cries and weeps over the very words that he's writing of those that are not outside the church, but even within the church body, people that are enemies of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is really, of course, the whole theme of the Bible, is it not? If the thief or the chief source of praise in heaven is the cross and what Christ accomplished, really the whole theme of what we are all about as Christians is the cross. Well, who are the enemies? These are the ones that are inside the church. They were Judaizers in Paul's day, taking confidence in their flesh, taking confidence in their righteousness being able to be performed by legal acts of keeping the law. They thought themselves better than those around them. They thought that they had a handle on things better than those Christians that were living simply by grace and by love in their relationship with Christ and others. When Christ said, "It is finished," he made one sacrifice for sin for all time, ending the sacrificial system. The temple veil was rent in two and allowing free passage into the Holy of Holies that we sung about, into the very presence of God. There was no restriction. It was open for all that would come to approach God by the cross, by God's grace and mercy that he bestowed upon us as we receive that grace through our forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Furthermore, these enemies of the cross lived contrary to the Spirit's directed life. Christ taught that we must take up our cross to follow him in Luke chapter 14, verse 27. However, many would deny the need to take up that cross on a daily basis. Some denied it and said that believers should always be prospering. And perhaps you've heard of the prosperity gospel, that Christians should always think of themselves as rich and healthy and without suffering. But really, the cross teaches us that the Christian life is all about taking on those things that bring into our lives suffering and hardship and difficulties on a regular daily basis for the sake of honoring God and for the sake of betterment of those around us and to serve those around us that they might know the love of God through us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the type of theology cheap grace, discipleship as secondary to salvation. Others deny the cross not necessarily by their teaching, but by their very lives. They will not sacrifice for him or for others. They will not put sin to death in their lives. There is no cross in their lives. Christ is often viewed as a virtual genie that they rub their lamp and he comes out and he's to feed their needs and that's it. But in way of them doing much for Christ, there's not much of that in their lives. The crossless Christian lifestyle actually leads people away from the Lord, they profess. They are dangerous to others' spiritual growth, and they're dangerous to themselves. Jesus taught in Matthew 13 that there are tares amongst the wheat. The church representing the field. True Christians being the wheat. But the text talks about the enemy going and sowing within the wheat tares. Tares are something that will make you sick if you eat them. Their chemical consistency makes one ill inside. In this parable, Christ taught that the enemy came and planted these tares with a purpose, giving negative effect, destroying even the harvest. Similarly, in the church, Satan has planted tares amongst the wheat. In the church, there are good examples and bad examples. Paul could see the damage bad examples were doing in the church, and thus his tears. If you model someone who is a terror, the consequence can be drastic in your spiritual life. Well, fourthly, here, eager exposition for expectation for heavenly citizenship in verses 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The citizenship of heaven living on earth isn't their final destination, isn't our final destination. The Lord Jesus will return in bodily form as he ascended to heaven. The citizen of heaven continues faithfully to do their job, knowing that the world doesn't just consist of those things that can be seen visibly around them. No, they keep their eyes on that which is spiritual, that which is eternal, that which is heavenly. The word citizenship Paul uses here refers to the place where one has their official status, where one's name is recorded on the registry of citizenship. Heavenly citizenship would have struck a chord with these Philippian churchgoers because they were citizens of Rome. And so as a Roman colony, they would have worn Roman clothes and would have had Roman titles spoken in Latin. And their Roman citizenship was coveted and opened many doors for them as citizens. However, as Christians, they had an even greater citizenship. As citizens of heaven, we should have a greater language than everybody else in way of citizenship. Paul said, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." As citizens of heaven, we have different values and different language that we speak to one another and to outsiders. As citizens of heaven, we should have different clothing. Paul commended the women of his day for dressing modestly and avoiding the extremes of that culture. As citizens of heaven, we must be certainly different as Christians. We must always seek to identify and not conform to the world. According to Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this life, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And then you will know what God's good and perfect purpose is in our life and his perfect will." We must keep ourselves from being pressed into a worldly form. We must form ourselves in way of heavenly values and heavenly direction. There's an old chorus that I love to sing. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's called "More Precious Than Silver." It goes something like this: "Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you." When we think that this world contains our wealth, we become sorely mistaken. Our wealth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be praying and desiring to bring something into heaven or even to have so much of the earthly wealth that we have to drag it and have so much trouble to maintain it. We should be lighthearted as Christians, maintaining a life that is heaven-bound for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you and ask that you would continue to encourage us and strengthen us with eyes that look towards you and towards the heavenly prize and not so much the earthly prize that so many of us around us treasure. Lord, help us to be good models of that when people look at us, they will see a model that is indeed following hard after Christ and after Paul and after Abraham and all those heroes of the faith of old. Lord, give us these eyes of faith. Help us to always strive after you. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name.